It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Okay, we're here. It's Friday. All the boys are still playing ball?
It's a great time to be a Kansas City sports
fan. It is. And of course, it's Friday, and John Grayson's like, all I want to do is go home. And I'm like, hey, you hang out for like 15 minutes, which you know means a little bit more than that because we have so much fun when you're in here.
Thank you.
Thank you for sitting in.
Hello, Dana.
I rarely ask anyone to sit in when Scott's gone because I can do it myself. You know that.
Yeah.
I don't mind doing it myself, but I do just like hanging out with you or Jamie. And there was a topic in my life that came up actually yesterday that I thought you and I could chat about here at some point. But first things first, are you going to the game on Monday night that you know of?
No.
Because everyone is now jockeying for those tickets.
Oh, are there tickets about?
Well, I haven't looked.
Okay.
But initially, I don't think they were that expensive, Sam. Am I wrong?
All I know is that we have gotten more and more expensive each year
of course,
as we continue to do well.
I've gone to one playoff game with my kids, and it was maybe, I don't know, 5 years ago or something.
What are you talking about? You went to the Super Bowl.
Well, I know, but before that, I went to one Royals playoff game with the kids.
How many Super Bowls have you been to?
In the three game, one the last, out of the game.
Three of the last.
Did you go to three of them? Yeah.
So the Miami one, I didn't go into the game. Uh-huh. I just went down there, which let me tell you, if you've never been to Miami, the people watching in Miami normally is like on a scale of 0 to 1,000 is 1,000. The people watching down there during the Super Bowl barred the door.
Oh, I'll bet. Yeah.
It was.
I mean, South Beach alone is an experience, but yeah.
Nosebleeds are selling for $120 a pop. I will tell you that last season I bought tickets for the divisional game for $120.
Why?
Pop.
That seems very cheap to me.
For a
playoffs game. Am I crazy?
That's what they were running for. That's why I went ahead and got tickets because they were reasonable. But now a Monday night football game against a team that, sorry, Saints fans, stinks. they're going for $120 a pop.
What's,
and you can see the stars from the seats.
What's face value on those seats? On the nosebleeds? On the really
say,
like,
we're
what's
knocking,
the cheapest
I would think
seat
we were at? Knocking at face value with that price.
That I don't know.
I don't know. That makes me happy. Dan, you're not going, are you? Do you know?
Going where?
To the game? Monday night?
No.
No. Why? I think we should all go. We should take a KMBZ family trip and go.
You're buying the tickets? Excellent.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, because Dan has a couch. That's why.
And
same reason I'm not going.
All kinds of angles and replay and bathroom breaks with no lines.
Food for cheap.
Food.
Yeah.
Bag of popcorn.
I love going to the game, chips. Man. I understand the couch thing, but I did go to a NASCAR event, the NASCAR race the other day. Very loud, but so much better on your couch.
Let me ask you something.
You're just constantly looking left to right when you're there.
When I flip around and accidentally run into one of those on TV, it looks like those cars are going about 30 miles an hour.
Doesn't
and I'm
it?
Like, what?
Yeah.
It does, but it's been years. I think the last time I was at one of those places was when Heartland Park opened. I covered it as a reporter. That's to tell you how long it's been since I've been there. The one thing I remember is you do not understand how loud it is, like ear-shattering loud.
Insanely loud.
And how fast they are actually going when you're there.
186 miles an hour.
The only time you see it is when they give that shot across the track, you know, and so you see them going by and they whip by.
No.
And then you pull out, you know, they do that shot where it's the far shot and you're looking at them going, they're barely moving.
What are they doing?
Really, what's the matter?
First of all, John Grayson, thank you for being here. There was
My
a
pleasure.
Story in our stack this week There's so much being said about Ozempic and all of the diet drugs. And I actually popped in to see Dr. Tag 2 days ago. It was yesterday.
From
this week,
Tag Nutrition?
From TagNutrition.com, shameless plug. And a woman, when I was checking out, I was covered in paint because I had just painted the living room on the house that has been on the market for 9 billion days. And I was covered in paint. I was not dressed. I mean, I was dressed like you would be painting. I was sweaty. I had just popped in for a weight check. And she came over to me and she said, "Are you Dana?" And I kind of went, oh, I said,
no, here we go.
I'm covered in paint. I'm not wearing a bra. I just want to get out of here. Right? Like, I love you, but I just want to get out of here. And she said, "I just wanted to say hi. I'm here because of you." And I hugged her.
Wow.
And I thought, no, sister, you're not here because of me. You're here because of you.
Mm-hmm.
You did it and got in the door, whatever that is for you, whether that's surgery or medication or a physician or any of those things. She looked incredible. I didn't ask how much weight have you lost. I mean, she looked like she was 130 pounds around my age. And I reached out to John, you guys, last night, and I said, "Hey, would you mind coming on just for a little bit to talk about your weight loss journey?" And I am having some psychological...
It's weird.
It's weird.
Body dysmorphia.
Yes, Sam, but in a weird way, I am not handling the mental side of things. Like, I should be happy and, oh my gosh, look at all this stuff. I found out yesterday my number, the number I have lost, because I hadn't been out in there in months. I've maintained and maintained. When I went in and they told me that number, my jaw hit the floor.
It was bigger than you had expected it to be, the amount of weight you've lost.
And I was uncomfortable with that all day. And I texted you and I said, why?
Yeah, and I can't give you a direct answer as to why, but I can tell you you're not alone. Because the one question that I keep getting is people keep telling me, oh, don't you feel great? And I'm like... yeah. I mean, I can now walk up a flight of stairs and not huff and puff. And so I notice things like that. I don't actually notice my body being that much smaller. But
is it because it was a slow drip to gain it and it was a slow drip to lose it? So it's not like you just woke up one day.
With mine, it wasn't.
And you had lost all of the weight.
Yeah. Well, with the surgery, what happens is it goes down a lot right at the beginning.
Okay.
And I probably lost 40 pounds within the first 6 weeks, 8 weeks, something like that. And then it starts to kind of level off. And that's where I am now. I barely lose a little bit of weight like a week now.
I love that you'll talk about this because I'm here to talk about it. So many people are like, well, I don't want to talk about that. Why not? We talk about everything. We talk about mental health. We talk all these things. Why is it not okay? We should be normalizing having these discussions.
But I'll tell you, the things that I have noticed in terms of just the way that I feel is it's harder to lay on my side now because my knees knock together.
Yep.
It's harder to shave now because I have cheekbones.
Yep.
I mean, it's all the stuff you don't expect. And we were talking about this out in the newsroom. I pick up my shirt in the morning to put my shirt on, and it looks like a kid's shirt to me. It's like, what? I'm never going to fit in that.
I will say this as a spectator of your weight loss. You were wearing clothes that were far too baggy.
Oh, I
for
still
a
do.
The shirt you're wearing right now does not fit you. It is too big.
And this is a new one, yeah.
And that goes back to the psychology of why is it so hard once you lose to wrap your arms around that literally and figuratively and just embrace it and say, hey, I'm a medium now. This is me.
I think that's why a lot of people yo-yo diet. I think that's what the regaining, some of it is about stopping a diet. You know, you go on a diet, you want to lose 20 pounds, you lose 20 pounds and you're like, okay, fine. Now I can go back to eating like
right.
I was
it doesn't
and
work boom, like that.
The 20
doesn't
pounds
like that.
Comes. Yeah.
How long did that happen for you? How long did you struggle with it?
Oh, forever. Between the ages of 7 and 9, I went from wearing Slims to wearing Huskies.
Wow.
So it's been that long. In my adult life, I have... Let me think about it. No. In my adult life, I have never been the weight I am now. I've been close to it once.
Is it familial?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Dad. I mean, mom was real thin.
Mine is too. Love you, but mom, it's you.
Yeah.
It's on my mom's side, up and down that tree.
But yeah, I mean, if you looked at a picture of my dad, you would go, oh, that's you. I mean, he had less hair than me. That's really the only difference between the two of us.
So I asked you before we came on the air, are you comfortable talking, like if there's something you don't want to talk about? Because no. I'm just going to have it out now for a couple of reasons. But you had the surgery.
Yep.
How many months ago?
It was a year ago, September 22nd.
Okay. But
so it's been a year and
about a year. And are you comfortable telling people how much you have lost?
82 pounds.
Wow. I don't even remember you before. Like when I, you know, we see you every day.
I have a picture and I did not take this picture for this reason. And by the way, part of the reason why I did this is you. And I'll explain that in a minute. It isn't you directly, but you had something very important to do with it. But I do have a bunch of pictures that I took at a comic or like a horror convention with PJ Souls, the actress from Stripes.
Yeah.
And I'm standing next to her, and it was right before, it was probably within 2 or 3 weeks before I started the pre-surgery diet. So I was at my peak weight then. I was at 267.
Oh, I never would have guessed you were 267.
Yeah, and I'm right now at 185. So yeah, it's 82.
Are you done? Do you want to lose any more?
I want to get down. My goal from the beginning was 100 pounds. So I want to get down to 167, but right now, I mean, I have a 34 inch waist,
wow,
which I have never had as an adult.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, it's just so dramatic. And I look back at the pictures and I think, how was that me?
Okay. So while you're looking, this is how you guys, this all came up, Sam. Jack took my phone when we were in Manhattan and he said, hey, mama, there's an update to your iPhone. And if you want, I can rotate the photos that will flash up on your phone when your phone opens every morning. And the first thing you see will be a photo from your favorites list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, my God, do it.
So nothing but happiness every time you unlock your phone.
All happiness every time. Yeah. And you guys, I urge you to do it. You'll start the morning with a smile on your face because you get a different photo from your memory bank from your favorite photos. And I started noticing last weekend in Manhattan, I would look down at my phone and those photos, it could have been 2 years ago. It could have been four. It could have been maybe even 16 months ago.
Yeah.
I do not even recognize myself.
I know.
That is a psychology mind blank. And I looked at that and I thought, when was I ever that big?
Yeah. That's the picture that I'm talking about.
John, I do not even recognize you in that photo.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember you working here and looking like that.
I know, but that was a year ago. Well, that was a year and 3 months ago.
So we might post a John and Dana before and after, but I'm still, and I want to ask you when we get back, because I was sharing this story in the newsroom. It's funny, but it's mortifying. I was standing in my bedroom a couple nights ago wearing an old pair of cutoffs. And I did not have a belt on, and I stood up, and the pants hit the floor.
It just fell off.
It didn't even, I wasn't wiggling out of them. It wasn't one of those slow penguin walks. They just dropped directly to the floor. I just died laughing. I was like, whoops, time to throw those out.
When it got to the point with my 44s where I had to cinch my belt so tight that it was making like U-shaped little, you know, rings all the way around my pants, I was like, I've got to do something about the
When we get back, I'm going to tell you the number because I feel like it will free me psychologically because I'm so disgusted by the number and I should be happy about the number. But I'm not, in a weird way, I'm not. I'm like, oh my God. And maybe you're past that because it's been a year and you're more comfortable in your new skin.
I'm getting there. But we can talk about that.
913-586-7798. You're listening to Dana and Park. Scott back on Monday. John Grayson sitting in. See you in a bit. What a gift of a song. Ma. John Grayson, thank you for sitting in on what is sort of an awkward, sensitive, I don't know why I still feel uncomfortable about it.
Isn't it weird that it's sensitive at all? I mean, we were talking about this during the break, and the idea that I think sometimes other people think we should be happier about it than we actually are.
So I found this study where they've looked at this, where losing weight can cast a spotlight on a person that can make you uncomfortable. And you mentioned Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill, yeah.
My gosh, who went from very, very big and very, very famous to very fit and still very famous. He doesn't like talking about it.
Hates it. and will refuse to in interviews now.
It says dramatic weight loss can bring about a certain amount of attention from others, which may not be all that welcome. Although comments received may be glowing and show approval of the accomplishment, it can make a person feel all the more exposed and vulnerable. Losing a lot of weight is an adjustment on multiple levels for anyone concerned, and you might not think about the psychological impact. We're so focused on the physical. Can I fit back into those jeans?
Being a fat guy for me became, because it was a long time, it almost becomes part of your identity. And I think Scott and I talked about this a little while ago. It is very strange that, you know, you look in the mirror and then you're like, well, wait a minute, that doesn't look like me. You know,
right.
It doesn't match. And that's that dysmorphia that Sam was talking about. So, yeah, it can mess with you a little bit, because if you have that identity and you're not that anymore, we're all concerned to some degree with the way other people see us. And that should match
right.
who we are. You know what I mean?
Sam, you've had some of these issues.
Oh, I have extreme body dysmorphia, and I have ever since I was little. I was the opposite end of the spectrum, and I always hesitate to chime in on these conversations because the typical response that I get is blank you, to where I couldn't maintain weight. No matter how much I ate, I was stick thin. You could count every single one of my ribs without even stretching my skin.
And people made fun of you for that?
People called me names. People told me to go eat a sandwich. I got compared to children in Africa who didn't have resources on a constant basis.
Wow.
I would go to the swimming pool and people would make jokes like, hey, do your parents feed you? And I'm like, I eat a ridiculous amount of food.
One of the things I will say about that is we cannot ignore our boys, our young men, our teenagers. The rates of anorexia, bulimia, dysmorphia issues have skyrocketed in our boys. We tend to think in middle school that's a girl's issue. No, it ain't. Yeah. Not anymore, it ain't. Okay, so I told you I would tell you the number, and I hate the number, but I'm going to say it, and then I think if you'll do this with me, we can both post a before and after on social, which is my nightmare. I don't like thinking about that other person. Like, you looked at your photo 82 pounds ago, and you were just like, I mean, take a look at this. I look at those photos of me, and I get, like, anxiety.
Yeah.
Like, how did I let that happen?
What is the number? What?
I found out yesterday the number is 50.
Good for you. Congratulations.
50 pounds in, I don't know, Sam, if you had to guess, you see me every day. How many months? Not that long.
Yeah.
Maybe 6 months, maybe 7 months. I would have
somewhere
to go back
in there,
and look.
Yeah.
I would have to go back and look.
And I told you that in a not small way, you're actually responsible for some of this. That do you remember when you pranked me with your car?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
We were watching you out the window,
yep.
And I made my car fart on the exterior as he walked by the car.
And scared the bejeebers out of me. And
hilarious.
I jumped, and
video.
And it was great. And yes. It was
and
very
then
funny.
We did the talk through the car thing. I don't remember
yes,
what we
did.
Said.
Somebody responded to that because you put it up on Twitter. And somebody responded to that and said, I had no idea Grayson was a middle-aged, balding, fat guy. And that was the day. I had been considering this for a long time, and that was the day, and that was the comment.
That was it.
I went home, and I told Jen, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
What does that say about society where someone you don't even know, who probably, you know, has no joy in their life,
yeah,
can say something that cuts you so quickly to the ground? And we all feel that when those comments are made.
And it's funny because it's not the first time in my life I was ever called fat. You know,
it was the last time.
Yeah.
But weight has always been the accepted playing field for joking for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be, because it screws with all of us in different ways, but it definitely screws with all of us, which I think is one of the reasons, instead of just basking in the joy of how great I feel and this is amazing and I fit into clothes that I'm wearing a belt, like all of these things, instead of focusing on that, I keep looking back at the negative, like, how could I have let that happen?
Yep.
And I think today, by talking about it, I hate talking about this. Like, I'm literally crawling out of my skin right now.
Yeah. And
but it's got to help getting it out there.
And I understand all of it, and I'm right there with you on all of it. But at the same time, if you ask me if I could go back a year, would I do this over again? In a
hell
hot second.
Yes.
In a hot second. Yeah.
And own the number if you've lost the weight. Because someone very close to me the other day, I was sort of talking about it, and I'm like, I can't even say it out loud. And he was like, tell me, like, what did you lose, 30 pounds? And I go,
keep going.
And I'm still stressed out about that.
And you feel like I should be proud of this. I should be proud. Right. I should be shouting this from the rooftops.
So then why is it so hard for us to do that? Yeah. 913-586-7. The phones are ringing. 913-586-7798. And we'll take your calls on this straight ahead. You are listening to Dana and Parks.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So one of the things I'm trying to normalize, because it's hard for me to talk about, is the discussion about weight loss or weight gain and really getting rid of all of the, I think it was Oprah who infamously said, I feel like Ozempic is cheating. And then she lost a bunch of weight. And now everyone's going, oh, never mind, it's not cheating. And I will tell you, you will pry that medication out of my cold, dead, thin hands. Sure. I talk about it. I'm an advocate for it. It's what it works for me. If it doesn't work for you, that's fine. Stay out of my kitchen. I'll stay out of yours. But I don't think you should knock anybody else for what worked for them.
Now absolutely. She endorses Ozempic, doesn't
now
she?
I'm not sure, but I remember in the beginning, a lot of people were like, well, why would you do that? If you don't, everyone has a different metabolism and responds differently to different things. And if you've got that runner's physique and you grew up like that and you've never had this issue,
yeah.
I am so happy for you, but you also don't know what it's like to not. It's not just eat a salad and work out more. That has never, trust me, I've tried it.
Yeah, I've been there. And that was another thing that, you know, there were things that I had done before in my life to lose some weight.
Yeah.
But it was never permanent. And the other thing was, I knew. And those things, I knew, okay, those are there. So when I gained all of this weight through COVID and everything else, I tried them all again. And none of them worked at all. So I was like, okay, I am now stuck. If I don't do this, then this is how I'm going to die.
They asked me yesterday, do you want to lose any more? And I am so happy with where I am, and it's something
I know. You're fantastic. You do.
I know that I can maintain it. And see, it's hard for me when you say that. I just go, oh, well, yeah, I shouldn't have gained it anyway. But we should be more like, thank you, and just you move on. You accept the compliment. I still can't do it. Why?
I know we've got people on the phones, but let me say one more thing real quick, is that this has been, I think, emblematic of my own psychological journey on this, because I did some deep thinking about this, and at one point, When I first announced that I did it, it was one of the days that you weren't here and I was on with Scott and he was like, are you okay talking about this?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, sure, of course. And somebody texted in and said, what would you say to people, because I had the surgery that I did, what would you say to people who say you're taking the easy way out? And what I said at the time was, if you think this is easy, try it.
Yeah.
Because surgery ain't easy. And it was painful. And I mean, there was a lot to it. There was a lot that went on. But over time, I realized that's not the right answer. The answer I should have given is, why should it be hard?
Bingo. But we all do it. We all judge. Sam, during a break, brought up Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah.
I remember seeing her several months ago on the show, and I said out loud, I go, what in God's name did she do? My God, I mean, she's lost, but wow, she's unrecognizable.
Yeah.
And I did say it with a tinge of, I don't know, judgment, Sam, but I mean, I'm guilty of some of the things we're talking about here.
It's okay if you said it with a tinge of judgment. As I said, it was such an easy thing. It was the accepted playing field for judgment for so long.
Let's go to Bob in Kansas City. Got a full board here. Hi, Bob. Welcome on in.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
So thank good. You. Go ahead. You're welcome. Go ahead.
So I took the big step in 2018 for the weight loss surgery as well. And no regrets.
Good.
My weight was 315. I got down to the lowest at 214.
Wow.
And I gained a little bit back because I'm a foodie, and but my whole biggest thing I had to learn is how to eat differently now.
Yes.
Portions, and beer is gone.
Yeah.
Pop is gone, and you know, I don't do a lot of alcohol, but if I do, it's something mixed. But you have to learn how to eat again, and it's not the American style of buffets. Buffets are a bad word.
You know what, Bob? Thank you for the call. The other thing I've noticed, I cannot order or eat an entire meal anymore.
No.
It's a non-starter. I share every single entree, and there's still stuff left over. So it's saved me money in that regard.
Well, yeah, when we order out, you know, when we get food delivered through Uber Eats or whatever, I always think, okay, this is going to be three meals worth.
Yeah.
I'm going to divide this in thirds and whatever it is. And it usually works out pretty well that way.
Let's go to Wild Bill calling in from the Missouri side. Go ahead, Bill. Hi.
How you guys doing today?
He is wild.
We are good, right, Bill. Go ahead.
Hey, I just had a little tidbit here. You know, I used to weigh 425 pounds, okay? So what I did, I'm now sitting at 200.
Wow.
What I did was keto. And like last caller just said, it's all about portion control. And for me personally, like, I couldn't bring myself to do the whole weight loss surgery. I felt like, and I'm telling an ass. But that felt like cheating to me because I didn't have the help. I didn't have help putting on the weight, right? So yeah. I didn't want the help taking the weight off. I was like, man, I did this to myself. I'm going to fix myself. And that's exactly what I did. You've got to flip your script, you know? You've got to change your whole way of thinking, the way you look at food, the portions, and everything else. But, dude, I'll tell you this much, man. If anybody can do it, if I can do anybody can do this. Like it is. Once you get your head around no carbs, no sugar, so you get to where you want to be, and then you just maintain, dude, it's easy.
Bill, do you mind if I ask how old you are?
I'm already turned 50.
Okay, I already turned 50. Good, good. Thank you for the honesty. Thank you for the call. I will tell you, and I think to some extent, men, for women over 40, it's harder to climb that mountain.
Definitely.
It just gets harder and harder and harder because of hormones, because all of the things that factor into that.
The last time I got down to 190, the only time as an adult that I got down to 190 before this, it was the same kind of thing. It wasn't that, but it was the low carb thing, and yeah, dropped a whole ton of weight and got there. And it was almost, it got to the point where, see if this sounds familiar, that it was almost scary.
Yeah.
Where I looked at the scale and went, God, that can't be me.
Uh-oh.
That can't be me. There's something's wrong. It should say 230 something, you know? And it was a very weird sensation.
But Bill said something there, and whether you have trouble keeping weight or losing weight, it is not a diet. It is a change of lifestyle.
Of lifestyle.
Yeah, and 100%.
You said, Sam, you've lost how? I can't believe what you just told us during the break, if you don't mind sharing it.
So I was a track runner. I was always the super skinny kid. And when I graduated high school, I, for whatever reason, was determined to no longer be the skinny kid.
Yep.
I did that through eating junk food and drinking a whole lot of beer.
Yep.
And about 3 years ago, I found myself stopping and catching my breath walking up the stairs. I noticed it because I would be walking up the stairs with people here at work, and I would be trying to have a conversation with them, and I'd be pausing in conversation to breathe.
Yes. Yep.
And I decided, what the heck is going on? So I, one night, in a drunken stupor, signed up for Planet Fitness and decided to change my lifestyle. And in 3 years, I lost 60 pounds of fat, and I've since gained 70 pounds of muscle.
Good for you.
That's,
man,
incredible.
That's awesome.
And you're a gym rat.
I go 6 days a week, sometimes twice a day.
I play pickleball, and you know I golf, and I'm starting to lift lightly some in the winter because I know for me the winter is typically a time where I'm like grouchy and you know, everything's gray and cold.
And the food is so rich.
And the food is so good.
Yeah.
Have some cheese soup. So, you know, if this resonates with you, we're glad for it. If it doesn't, and this is not your issue, I'm so glad this is not your issue.
Yeah, really, congratulations.
You know, everybody has, I say all crap is crap. We don't have to rank it. We really don't have to rank people's blank. Let's go to Candace in Mission. Hey, Candace.
Hi, guys. I'm so happy you're having this conversation. I think it's great, and I agree it does need to be talked about more. I just wanted to give a little plug. I don't want to go into my history, but I was advised by two doctors to not take the GLP-1
sure.
for just certain things in my history.
Yep.
But I was put on an oral medication called Contrave,
okay.
Contrave, and it's a combination of Wellbutrin
yep.
and naloxone. Naloxone is given to people in an addictive
situation.
Yeah.
And I remember, Dana, when you first started the GLP-1s, you talked about the squirrel in the cage.
Yep.
And I related to that so hard.
Good.
And it's taken some time for this medication to kick in. It's not quite the steep situation that it might be when you take a GLP-1. But I just wanted to let people know, I don't think this medication is well known. I had to do my own research and suggest it to my doctor.
Right.
So, you know, for people who, for whatever reason, can't be on the GLP-1s, this oral med, the Contrave, could possibly be an option to just help make better choices and just live a healthier life.
Candace, thank you. Thank you so much for the call. She talks about the squirrel in the cage, and this was in the stack yesterday from CBS News. They are now studying the impact that Wegovy and Ozempic and all of those drugs are having on people who are trying to stop smoking. So think about it. John, all these people went on these drugs to lose weight, and they did. Let's say 20% or even 10% of the American population smokes, and that translates to 10 or 15% of everyone who tried the weight loss drugs also happened to be a smoker. And what patients started saying to their doctors was, this is so weird. Not only am I down 40 pounds, but I'm not craving a cigarette anymore.
That was the thing. It was the craving. It was the, I just don't feel like it.
It's the squirrel in the cage. It did the same thing for me with wine. I'll have one glass, maybe two, but I don't have four anymore.
Well, she mentioned that the combination she was on was naloxone and Wellbutrin.
Yeah.
Wellbutrin's what I used to quit smoking 25 years ago. So haven't had a cigarette since then.
Wow. The study was published Monday in the Annals of Internal Medicine. You know, you subscribe.
Of course.
And researchers found that semaglutide was associated with lower risk for tobacco use disorder related health care measures, including reduced smoking cessation medication prescriptions and counseling. And the study, by the way, involved 222,000 people. It says while it's too early to suggest prescribing the drugs for smoking cessation, the findings suggest the need for much more research to evaluate those drugs for tobacco misuse.
It was the exact same thing that happened, because Wellbutrin is an antidepressant.
Yep.
And that they were giving it to people as an antidepressant, and the people went back to them and said, yeah, I don't feel like smoking anymore either. So that's how it happened. It would not surprise me a bit to see that go on.
Go ahead, Sam.
The number of success stories on the text line right now are incredible.
It's
great. I lost 57 pounds. I lost 40 pounds. I lost 50 pounds and still maintaining. You guys are killing it.
Listen to this from the doctor of the study. When we think about the reward center, it releases dopamine, which is our feel-good hormone, right? We all know what that is. So what happens is when you do a certain activity, dopamine surges, and you're like, oh, I want to keep doing that. Whether that's indulging in alcohol, nicotine, gambling, or food, the way Ozempic works is it decreases your surge of dopamine, and therefore the desire for that particular activity goes down.
Yep.
It's incredible. 913-586-7798. We're going to do it. We're going to go now and take a photo. We're going to post it on Facebook. We'll put it on my Dana Rat KMBZ page with the before photos, John. We're going to do it. I'll do it if you do it.
Absolutely,
if you're with me, I'll do it.
Not a problem. And thank you for allowing me to be a part of this.
Thank you for talking about it this morning. I was like, hey, do you want to come on and talk? I want to make this awkward, but do you mind? Of course, John was like, yeah, I'll come on and talk about it. Love you, my friend.
Love
so
you
glad
back.
You're healthy, and we'll talk soon. We're back with much more on Dana and Park straight ahead. Do you not remember me asking you, Sam, yesterday? And thanks to John Grayson, by the way, for sitting in. I always just adore hanging out with him. He's just a good human. But do you not remember me asking you during a break yesterday? You remember what I asked you? And you were like, what?
I don't remember in particular. You asked me a lot of questions.
I go, Sam, what's 50 pounds? And you go, what?
Oh,
and
yeah.
I go, well, give me an idea what's 50 pounds. And you go,
big bag of dog food.
Okay, so you said that. Here's why I bring this up. Today, I go to change the cat litter. And when I get cat litter delivered to the house, like I Instacart, you know that, I always ask in bold, I want the tiny little bags. I think it's like 5 pounds or so, because I can lift that. When you go bringing me, you think you're saving me money, you bring this gigantic bag. It's
the
hard.
Big bucket is about
50
pounds.
It's hard for me to lift that.
Yeah.
So it's not, because today I was going, bleh. My daughter was over, and I go, darn it, I've got this big bag, and I asked for the small bag. Heaved it over to change the litter, and I looked at it. That enormous bag of cat litter, the big one, is 25 pounds.
Really?
And I said to my daughter, when you lift something that is 25 pounds, and I think to myself, I was carrying around two of these, that no wonder I would have knee problems or sleep problems or going up the stairs problems. It's that's not sustainable.
And you think about the bag that you take and you check into luggage for your flight. Those were typically about 50 pounds or just under 50 pounds.
Yeah, that's what you were saying.
Yeah.
You were saying, think about your luggage. And I'm like, well, I'm not really a luggage kind of gal. I'm more just, which speaking of luggage, is Scott back or on his way back?
He's supposed to be on his way back, but there is a storm heading that way.
No storm.
I'm just telling you the truth. Just telling you the truth.
I saw his lovely little post.
Bragging with, pictures,
with
jerk.
With the palm trees. Did you see I photo replied in the comments?
With a California howdy?
Yeah, I mean, there is a reply of Dana's face.
Let him know how you feel.
In the studio when it comes to all of those things. HGTV's new Scariest House in America will feature homes in Kansas and Missouri.
So we talked about the Airbnb yesterday, the haunted Airbnb, which is actually a morgue.
Yep.
I think that these two are different.
Two of the houses featured in the new HGTV series Scariest House in America that debuts today are in Kansas and Missouri. The search for the 9 scariest houses in the country led HGTV to Atchison, Kansas. You know what that is. And Brumley, Missouri on the Lake of the Ozarks. The homes will be featured, put this in your calendar, October 11th. If you thought the Midwest was all cornfields and quaint towns, I didn't, you'd be wrong, she says in the Mysterious Midwest episode.
Yeah, that was written by somebody who's never been to the Midwest.
If you thought
jerk.
It was all cornfield, no, I didn't think that. Because America's heartland, they write, is not for the faint of heart. The houses are known to bring the scary. And then they're going to, it's a contest. They're going to do a bracket style, which is the scariest. In Brumley in Miller County, population 91, they visit the haunted Castle House. It is a historic two-story Victorian home built in 1855 with a graveyard. And the Kansas house, it has to be...
The Sally House,
It has to be the Sally House.
Yeah. Especially if it's in Atchison. But anyway, they do have other haunted houses.
October 11th is when you are going to see this. And I'm putting that on the calendar. I don't think it says in here which house. It's got to be the Sally House.
Yeah, it doesn't say.
We've talked about that at length on this program. 913-586-7798.
We are just 2 hours away from Festivus Friday. Brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fixed today at Q39KC.com.
We will air the grievances. And then coming up this hour, in the 3 o'clock hour, did you see the news about the Lyle and Eric Menendez case? Finally, there is some good news when it comes to that horrifying chapter in our court's history. We're going to talk about that coming up, and also why were those decisions made so many years ago that kept those boys in prison for so long? That is coming up straight ahead on Dana and Parks. Stick with us.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.